live from State Street in the heart of Chicago. You are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Silver, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, we can move on from all that with Will Pass. So bad. I don't know why he doesn't like the NFL talk.
I don't know.
Or at least
either.
The draft stuff. He does not like NFL draft stuff.
Well, we're going to have a conversation with him then.
We've had conversations with him.
We're going to have another one.
For years and years and years.
I don't know why.
Mel Kiper Jr. is always so kind with us. He doesn't yell at us.
No, he doesn't.
He just talks really fast, and he gives us a lot of information.
Great information.
For years, he's done this.
Wilbon just yells at me.
Our hope is that in the future years, when we call Mel, that we'll be asking him what the Bears are going to be doing at number 24. Or number 28.
How about number 32?
Well, that would be ideal, but, I mean, we're realistic. let's go baby steps, or at least one giant step for next year.
Okay.
And then one day we'll go with number 32. Okay. Mel Kiper Jr. has another mock draft out, and he's been talking to us for years, and he picked up the phone right at the beginning of mock draft season. We talked to him right with his first mock draft, and he has another one out right now, and he joins Waddle and Sylvie right now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Mel, did you know that Wilbon hates mock draft season?
Know what Mike likes and doesn't like. Mike likes something, Tony doesn't. I dealt with Tony for years. You know, Tony and I are good friends, and Mike and everybody. So, yeah, Tony was kind of that way for a while, and I think I transformed him into somebody who appreciates it. So I guess I got to work on Wilbon now, but
yeah.
We'll see. But I usually go about 80 miles an hour, but I'll try to gear back to maybe 45 today and slow it down a bit, guys. And
let's have
a nice, meaningful discussion here about the NFL draft.
You don't have to worry about us, Mel. We love mock draft talk.
Yeah, and we keep up.
Especially in the seats we're sitting in now as Bears fans. Obviously, Caleb Williams, number one. I think then the conversation becomes, what do the Bears do at 9?
Yeah, I think they have two options. I really do. I thought about this a lot during the course of the weekend and talking to people in the league and friends and everybody that have an opinion, and they try to put it all together. But I think Romo Odunze, if he's there, you don't think about it, you just take them. And you have to be prepared for all the options. That's what these teams are doing these weeks, preparing for any possible scenario. And what do we do? If this happens, how do we deal with it? What's our decision going to be? You don't have 2 hours to think about it. So at the end of the day, if Romo Odunze happens to slide to 9, I'm taking him. If he's not available at 9, he's gone, which I think is a strong possibility because he's a great player, and he's the 5th highest rated player on my board right now, then you think about trading down. I think getting that 2, if you can't get the 2, try to get a 3, but move down and get that pass rusher. Get that edge rusher opposite Montez Sweat, which turned out to be a great trade for Ryan Poles. And now if you can get a guy like Atu Latu, if you want to go down, Jared Verse, somebody like that, at a point in the draft where the little tightness in the hips for Verse doesn't bother you as much. The former neck injury, prior neck injury for Leatu Latu doesn't bother you as much moving down and recouping a draft choice. So I think those are, and if you want a pass rusher in the 3rd or 4th round, I'll give you a couple names if you don't get one in the 1st. If, say, you got Odunze, it would be Brennan Jackson from Washington State and Mo Camara from Colorado State are 2 very good pass rushers that could drop into the 3rd round.
So, as far as Odunze is concerned, do you believe Neighbors is certainly going to be taken before Odunze, or do you think there's a chance that there will be a team who likes Odunze more and maybe Neighbors slides to 9?
I don't think Neighbors is sliding. I mean, it's just too much positive momentum. I hear some of the things that come out. That always comes out a couple weeks leading up to the draft. They're always trying to throw stuff out there. A lot of times you're better off. Ernie, of course, he told me this years ago, you're better off going on vacation in April, come back 3-4 days before the draft, and listen to all this nonsense. Because a lot of it is just nonsense about players. We saw, heard it last year about some players that have any impact. No. So, again, I think Malik Neighbors, Marvin Harrison Jr., Romo Odunze, they're all great. What order they're going to come off the board, I think it's Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze. Some think it's Neighbors, Harrison, Odunze. Others might have Odunze at 2. But I think the consensus, guys, is Harrison or Neighbors, and then Odunze. And that's not taking anything away from Rome. Rome is a great player. But right now, I wouldn't be shocked if Neighbors was the first receiver off the board. But the bottom line is, you know, one's going to go five or six, and the other one's going to, you know, one could drop to nine. So you're going to have two of these receivers, four at four with Arizona. If they trade out, say, then maybe somebody slides, because there's talk that Arizona could move out of four and move back in or do something. Like, they got to get a receiver, too. And I don't think they want to lose one of these three. That's why that made no sense to me. But then Adam Schefter talked this week about doing what they did last year. Go four, down to, say, 11, and then back up. So, again, there's a lot of options because these three receivers guys are special.
So, and let me ask you about what you were just saying about a lot of this disinformation that is out there. There's a lot of people right now who have speculated that the Bears could be trading down, and that in their mocks, in these, like, what they're hearing mock drafts, them saying, hey, Odunze could be on the board, or this wide receiver could be on the board at nine, but still have the Bears trading back. Do you believe that could be some misinformation being thrown because the Bears want people to believe something else?
Yeah, I don't know where a lot of stuff comes from. That's what you don't know. Nobody's the thing I've always known is no teams are telling you what they're doing. And sometimes stuff can leak from people within the organization. But I know for a fact, I've known enough of these guys over the years, and I've been good friends with a lot of guys in the league over the last 46 years. And outside of one or two that would trust me, nobody was telling me what they were going to do. Now, some would, a couple would, but they knew that I wasn't going to say it to anybody, because if I did, they'd never talk to me again. So, and I never would do that to a great friend, wouldn't do it to anybody, but certainly to a great friend. And then they would say to me, wait till we're on the clock, and you're free to say whatever you want. Because if you say before that, I don't want anybody to know, because we might have a trade opportunity here. So they don't want to let anybody know what they're thinking. So again, no, I don't believe any of this. And like I said, that's why I know how much work and time and effort goes into this. Why in the world would you want anything you really are going to do to be out in the public or get to another team? There's no way. And I know what teams say to their people. If you let anything out, I know Ernie used to say that. Ernie, if I get wind that any body in this room leaked any information, you're fired. One spot. Nope, I don't want to hear anything, you're gone. So that's the way it should be. And I think that's the way it is in some organizations. I don't know if all of them are like that, but that's the way I would be if I were GM. If I were an owner, I'd say, if anybody leaks any of this stuff out, start packing your bags.
Right. Hey, Mel, you know, in recent years, I think the NFL has shown us that you can find difference-making receivers outside of the first round. Guys are available. It's a position that has really blossomed. With that said, do you believe that these top three, and there's no such thing as a can't miss, because I know that there are no sure things in life, especially in the National Football League. But are these three guys just that special that they should all be gone at least by nine?
1,000%, yes. They all are special. They all should be great. We've had years where they've had the big three before, and it worked out where all of them were really good. So, yes, I would expect all three of these. If we're talking 5 years from now and two of the three are great, it would be a surprise. I think all three will be great. So that's why there's a drop-off. Doesn't mean it's going to work that way, but right now, projecting into the NFL from college, there is a significant, or I'd say a drop-off, some would say significant, down to the fourth wide receiver, which could be Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, who was a one-year wonder at LSU this year, or Xavier Worthy, who ran a 4.21, heck of a player, but he's 165 pounds. Xavier Leggett, big A.J. Brown type, they say, right? But he only had one great year. Why would a guy that's A.J. Brown only have one great year at South Carolina? I mean, come on. So that's why you got to, you know, temper your enthusiasm there just a bit. A great second-round receiver is Jalen McMillan from Washington. Heck of a player. I think he could be a standout. But he is going to be available, I think, in round two. He's a teammate of Rome Odunze. Heck of a player. Got a little banged up this year. Missed some time. Jalen Polk became the guy who was getting his catches. And all of a sudden, McMillan's kind of forgotten about. But there's a receiver, if you're looking for a second-round steal in a two- or three-year period, Jalen McMillan, I think, from Washington would be that guy as well.
Mel Kiper Jr. joining us, Waddle and Sylvie, on ESPN 1000. We have entertained the notion about the Bears possibly moving up. What about what would your thoughts be on moving up for Marvin Harrison Jr., as you just talked about? He is a guy who I think he's only visited two teams, and the Bears being one of them. And would you do it at nine? And what would it take, in your estimation, for the Bears to go up and get him?
Well, they don't have to too. So, again, you're talking about future picks. And, again, you have extra picks next year, I believe, in the third. So you have some draft capital there. But, again, if you can – I would much rather stay at nine and get a Romo Dunze than have to move up when you don't have a two already. And this team needs an edge rusher. Make no mistake, this team has that need area there that they want to get an edge rusher. Maybe another offensive lineman being as strong in the trenches. So, again, when you have that – really desire and need of a defensive end opposite a pass rusher opposite Montez Sweat, you got to have the ability to use a pick on that player, and you can't wait till the fourth, fifth round. If, you know, like I said, Brennan Jackson and Mo Camara, I like, they might be gone in the third round. So again, you got to be careful. Again, especially when we know there's very little, if any, separation. I have Harrison at three, I have Neighbors at four, and Odunze at five on my board. And guess what, guys? They all have the same grade. Same grade. You still have to give somebody the edge. I was loyal to Marvin Harrison. Loved the kid. I was with his dad when he came out. I'm not kidding. Marvin Harrison Jr. had Kyle McCord to throw the football. Kyle, he's not even at school anymore. You know, Malik Nabers had Jaden Daniels, right? And Romo Dunze had Michael Penix Jr. So it was a big difference. And I know in the Georgia game a couple of years ago, if Ohio State doesn't lose Marvin Harrison Jr. to that injury into the third quarter, they win that game by a couple touchdowns. They lost that game. So they probably win a national title or certainly are playing for it, right? So he's a pivotal guy, critical entity. I'm not going to, you know, move him down, but it's like I say, you're splitting hairs when you talk about ranking these three guys.
Mel, how far a drop is it from Joe Alt to the next highest rated tackle in your opinion?
Well, it depends what you want. Remember, he's a left tackle. He's been a left tackle. He started out, you know, and I'm a big Notre Dame guy, so I watch their games 25 times a week over and over again. So maybe I'm a little too critical of some. I've always thought people that know me, I've always thought sometimes you're a little too critical. Well, I didn't say that about Jimmy Clausen, who I missed on a lot a long time ago. And I certainly, some said I had a vendetta against Notre Dame players, which was ridiculous. Some said I love Notre Dame players, which I never did. I tried to be objective. Bottom line is, Joe Walsh, a left tackle, got better and better, and he's the left tackle that I think Tennessee would want to have. Protecting Will Levis, who showed a lot of promise as a rookie. I would say J.C. Latham or Tali Fuago would be the elite right tackle that somebody's going to be looking for there. I would certainly say Graham Barton if you're looking for an anchor, and I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will be looking for that kind of guy. Could be a heck of a player there. But another tackle as well would be Tyler Guyton. Amarius Mims is going to be a surprise. I think he could get into the middle of the first. If I had to gamble or roll the dice on somebody jumping a little higher than he's projected, it may be Amarius Mims from Georgia. Only started eight games, but boy, does he have a lot of talent. He's incredibly long in terms of his arm length. He's got huge hands. He played really well for those eight games that he started. So that's the kind of guy there that somebody's going to, I think, roll the dice on a little earlier than people are mocking him right now.
Mel, there are others out there that believe Jaden Daniels is the best of the quarterback prospects here. You have Caleb Williams still at the top of your list. What differentiates Williams from the others, in your opinion?
Well, I had a super high grade on Williams coming in after 2022, and nothing really happened until the Notre Dame game and a couple games afterwards to lessen your enthusiasm. And that would only be because he had a bad offensive line. He didn't have Jordan Addison this year, and he did obviously struggle in a couple of those games. Notre Dame game was just a bad game for him. But it wasn't like, you know, Drake May didn't have some rough games, and Jaden was a fourth-round pick before this year. Keep that in mind. So you had this guy who was the generational quarterback, would have been the number one pick last year, right? Over Young, and he would have certainly number one by Miles coming into the year. And here's this guy moves from a fourth round pick up to the number two pick. Does he overtake Caleb Williams? That's a lot for me to do. When Caleb Roy did nothing this year to say get off Caleb Williams and move somebody in there. That did Jaden play great? He did. Is he perfect? No. He's still got some things he needs to work on. And he was a guy who got tremendously improved over last year, just like Joe Burrow did. Second year at LSU, and he's a great dual threat quarterback. He's added some weight, but to me, Caleb is still, I wouldn't say by miles, but I still think he's the best quarterback in this draft, with Jaden second, Drake May three, and J.J. McCarthy four, and those are the two 21-year-olds that need a little time, but they're quarterbacks that there's a lot of mixed opinion on, put it that way. They're the top two, not as much. Three and four, there's some mixed opinion.
We play the comp game. Who's your comp for Caleb Williams that's currently in the National Football League?
I don't do the comp game. Because okay. The comps are always to great players, and we know most of these guys, 50% of these first-rounders will be disappointments. So the comps are always the stars, and it creates a false impression and expectations through the roof when they're unrealistic. Patrick Mahomes was the comp to Caleb Williams. Okay, Drake Mays was Justin Herbert. Yeah. You know, Jayden Daniels was Lamar Jackson and Randall Cunningham. Okay, I could go on and on. J.J. McCarthy, I thought he kind of reminds me a little bit of Jim Harbaugh, you know, his coach, and the guy that loves him because he kind of reminds him, I think, of himself. So you always go to the good or great players with comps. You never go to a guy who was a disappointment. Right. So, but I do think those are some comps that were out there. Bo Nix to Drew Brees, right? So, again, Drew Brees was first pick in the second round. Sometimes comps aren't who they became, guys. It's who they were coming out, okay? So Drew Brees wasn't expected to be any superstar quarterback. He went first pick in the second round. He was let go by the Chargers when they got Phillip Rivers. He went to New Orleans. Hey, Miami could have had him. Miami didn't want him because they said, that shoulder bothers us. We'll go get Dante Culpepper. If that would have happened, Nick Saban would have never left Miami and would have never been at Alabama and won all those championships. So that's how history would have been rewritten, guys. So, again, are you basing the comp on who they became or who they were coming out?
Is this finally it, though, Mel? I mean, are we finally getting our guy? Are we finally getting our star at quarterback?
I hope so. I mean, you never know. Nobody's smart enough to crystal ball to say 100% guaranteed. Nobody knows. Like I said, people doubted Peyton Manning when he came out. I heard people in the league say if his name was Peyton Jones, he would have been a third-round pick and all. So, again, there's a lot of things that go on with quarterbacks that beyond how good they are. Because, as you guys all know, it's about structure. It's about consistency. There's a quarterback coming out of Tulane, Michael Pratt. He's on his seventh offensive coordinator dating back to high school. Okay, seventh or eighth offense. Four offensive coordinators in 4 years at Tulane. Yet he still played pretty well. You can't do that in the NFL. So what usually, unless it's a Ryan Leaf situation where it goes beyond the team, the organization, unless it's that type of thing going on there where he's, whatever it takes to be a great quarterback, putting in the time and being that leader, doing all those things intangible-wise, unless it's something like that that a player maybe doesn't have necessarily, then all of a sudden, then it's on the organization. Because the late, great Bill Walsh told me this years and years ago. I think it was 1994. I sat for an hour and a half at the expansion draft and talked to Bill Walsh. And in a meeting we were having, the meeting was over, and he said, no, once they show you they're great, the coaching staff, it's up to them to maintain that greatness. Once they show you it, they got to be consistent. And that's not on always the player. That's on us. So I always believe that once somebody shows you they can be really, really good at the pro level, as long as they have the work ethic and the passion and they're smart and they can do all the things you need to do, and from an intangible standpoint, the coaching staff with continuity has to keep that going.
It's good words right there. You mentioned again that if a wide receiver is in there, maybe the Bears move down to the middle of the first round and go edge rusher. What differentiates a couple of the guys? What are some of the characteristics of each guy that you like most?
Well, Dallas Turner is going to probably be gone at 8, maybe even a little earlier, but he's at Alabama. He had a really good year. He still needs to develop a counter move. I thought they always didn't really utilize him the way I would like to see edge rushers just come after a quarterback. And in college, they have him dropping back in the coverage. Sometimes they take him out in running situations. And it's just, sometimes the way college players are handled is a little bit different than maybe the NFL would. Dallas Turner is going to go high. He'll be gone by the Bears pick. Now, if the Bears want to jump up a couple spots, if they feel they can give up some future pay, then they could probably acquire Dallas Turner ahead of Atlanta. I think Atlanta is a team that would really want him. He's not perfect yet either. Like I said, he needs to develop that counter move, but he's got a tremendous athleticism and physical prowess, and he wants to be great. Then you got Liatu Latu, who would have been the top guy, but he had that neck issue at Washington, put together two really good years at UCLA. Now, he's got bend. He's slippery. He's got a repertoire of moves that really give offensive tackles trouble. And he plays hard. So he's a kid who'll probably drop into the middle of the first round somewhere. Jared Verse, powerhouse. Great attitude, loves to play the game, plays hard, physical, tough and strong against the run, just like I say, a powerhouse. But he's a little tight in the hips. And you see that when he's going after the quarterback. You saw it in some of the drills, the hoop drill and some others. So, again, you can work, it's tough to work that out. So I think that pushes him to me around Miami, say, at 21. So those are some of the guys. Like I gave you a couple guys I thought in the third, fourth round could be really good value picks, as, Brennan Jackson from Washington State and Mo Kamara from Colorado State.
Mel, Who is your favorite player, regardless of position, in this draft?
I love Troy Fa'utanu from Washington, the guard tackle. With left tackle at Washington, probably be a Pro Bowl guard. And I just love the way he plays. You want to be entertained, turn on the tape with Troy Fa'utanu. Fun to watch. Just gets after it, boy. He is so athletic, so talented, so physical, great punch. Everything about him is screams Pro Bowl. So Fa'utanu on the offensive side. From a defensive standpoint, I think, you look at Edgerrin Cooper, a kid, it's going to be a second-round pick. I just love watching the kid play because they put him outside. He got after the quarterback. He had a ton of tackles for lost sacks. Inside, he can chase. He's got range. He can cover. I think Edgerrin Cooper is going to be a really good second-round pick for somebody. I think guys were just entertaining to watch. Where those guys, Roman Wilson made some great catches for J.J. McCarthy. I'll tell you what, he went up and got it. We had him on Daria Mel show a few weeks ago. What a great kid. Ran 4.39. He was the go-to guy for J.J. McCarthy on those critical third downs that they usually put the quarterback in because they were a traditional old-school football team, right? But Roman Wilson's a really good football player. And I mentioned Jalen McMillan from Washington, one of my favorites as well. So from an offensive tackle standpoint, I think you look at guys down the line a little bit. Nathan Thomas from Louisiana Lafayette is going to be a really good fourth-round pick, could go as high as the third. I think he's intriguing. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun draft. Like I said this week, and I didn't overstate it. I'm not just saying it. I've never said it before. It's the most fascinating draft I've been associated with in 46 years. Why? Because of the quarterbacks, the intrigue, teams that need them may not want that guy, and somebody may step into that spot and get that guy. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And a lot of entertainment over the 3 days of the NFL draft.
Yeah. With that said, Mel, I mean, one of the guys that I'm most intrigued by is J.J. McCarthy. How difficult is it to kind of assess him based on the style they asked him to play at Michigan and what that would translate to in the NFL?
I call it my Trey Lance category now. I just throw my hands. I just don't know. I didn't know what Trey Lance would be. I said it when he came. I had one game he started it, Central Arkansas game. He wasn't great with his arm. He was great with his legs. That was the only game that COVID year. And he goes third. I didn't know what Trey. I can't say I knew he was going to be a disappointment. Didn't know if he was going to be a suit. I didn't know. And he could say, well, you said that. No, you can't. You always have an idea whether he's going to be what kind of player. Now, you're going to be wrong. You're going to be right. But some guys, you just don't know. And you just have to admit, you don't have a feel for that player. I'll give you a running back. Braylon Allen from Wisconsin. I don't have a real feel for Braylon Allen. Sometimes guys that you like something, at the end of the day, it's hard to put a rating. JJ, I kept telling guys, I'm waiting for that game to put him in my top 25. Never found the game. Then I kept watching. Well, it's not him. It's because and I got him in the top 25. I got him to 14, 15. I can't get him any higher, and he's going to go in the top five. So what ranking players does, Carl Peterson always said this, you rate players and you put them on a board to protect you from overdrafting somebody. That's why you do that exercise. And what teams would usually do, there would be some GM or we kind of change the board. Remember, you heard their stories. They go home the night before the draft. They come up the next morning. I'm in the and the ratings changed. The board changed. So if you hold true to your board, you usually do well, and it usually protects you against overdrafting, and that's why we do that exercise. But I would say J.J. McCarthy is a tough one for me. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. I put him in the middle of the first, 14, 15, 16. Guess what? He's going to go long before that.
Yeah. Finally, as the draft coverage ends, after you guys do the draft and everything like that, do you go put your feet up and go on a long vacation at all and stop watching tape? What do you do?
Tell you what I do. When I'm driving back Saturday night from Detroit, I'll be doing a grading each team's draft, and I do that show on Monday. So I'll put a grade, which obviously is just a subjective opinion. And then when we get back after that, I start evaluating guys for 2025. And actually, on day three of the draft, Rob Adansky, our producer, always asked me this week for my top 10 for 2025 and the top five quarterbacks. So I'll be providing that, and we'll talk about that. So May and June, guys, it's quiet. It's time you can spend doing just that. There's no pressure to provide a big board or ratings. And I get most of my work done for the next draft in May, June, July, and August. And that's why those big boards that come out in August are based on 3-4 months of watching players and trying to figure this out, and then things will change. But those months are spent relaxing, having fun, and getting away because you got to regenerate, but watching an awful lot of football as well.
Awesome. Man.
You're the best, Mal. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mel.
Always a pleasure, guys. You guys do a great job. Have a great one, man. Thank you.
There he is, Mel. Mal Kiper Jr.
Love his enthusiasm for what he does.
He loves what he does.
Yes.
And he's just been the best at it. Greeny joked this morning that he invented the draft. Not the mock draft. He invented the draft.
The draft itself.
Yeah. All right. Aki's A-List coming up. Do you want to do the Bears trivia question on the other side, Tyler? Can we do that?
Let's ask the question now and then answer
that's
on
good.
The other
okay,
side.
Okay, here we go. So, again, at around 5:20, we went late with Mal. We're giving away these exclusive tickets to the official Bears draft party, which is sold out. We will be broadcasting there a week from Thursday. A pair of tickets, and every day at about 5:20, we'll be asking Bears draft questions. Today's question is this. First correct caller, 312-332-3776. The Bears have two first-round picks this year. The last draft, the Bears had two first-round draft picks. Who did they select? The last time the Bears had two first-round draft picks, who did they select? You don't have to give me the year. Just tell me the two players they selected the last time they drafted twice in the first round. 312-332-3776. We'll get the correct answer and the winner coming up next in Aki's A-List. It's Waddle and Sylvie. We're broadcasting. Joniak and Thayer will be with us. This is sold out. And the question was, Bears have two first-round picks in this year's draft. Last time the Bears drafted two players in the first round, name those two players. 312-332-3776. Commer is in Skokie. Oh, my hometown. Where about in Skokie, Commer?
Hey, Sylvie. Over by Herm's Palace, down block from Herm's Palace.
Very nice. Going to get a dog?
Yeah, eventually.
All right, Commer, who do you got?
It would be Michael Haynes and Rex Grossman in the 2003 NFL draft.
That is correct. Right. Do you remember what Michael Haynes, what his hobby was?
I do not, Sylvie.
Exotic animals. He had snakes and stuff.
Yes, that was the big yeah. thing. Yeah. Michael Haynes.
I just remember we had the number 4 pick traded down. I was wanting the Bears to get Byron Leftwich that year.
Oh, you wanted Leftwich because they carried him down the field, his teammates, right?
Yep.
All right, Commer, we'll see you at the draft party, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
There's our guy, Commer. Hold on, we'll get his information. Yeah, they had the number 4 pick. That was the same year, too, Aaron Rodgers was available.
Who's the GM? Is it Jerry?
Or no, Angelo? That was not the Aaron Rodgers draft. We were talking about another
Benson
draft. The Cedric Benson draft was the Aaron Rodgers draft. This was the T-Sizzle draft.
Correct. Terrell Suggs.
He's in a little bit of trouble right now.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he found some trouble recently.
What were you saying? I'm sorry. I had to finish my thought.
Now I completely forgot myself. I think I was just saying I didn't realize they traded out. Who was the GM at the time? Was it Jerry Angelo?
Yeah. Angelo took over, I want to say, right before the 01 season.
Would you consider that decision a good decision? I mean, Rex Grossman was your starting quarterback in a Super Bowl. Michael Haynes probably had I don't know how many sacks did Michael Haynes.
I don't think when you turn the number 4 pick into Rex Grossman and Michael Haynes,
that
it was a good decision. No. Was Haynes the higher of the two picks?
Yes, he was. So, yeah, he was picked 14th overall.
Well, and Grossman was what, 20?
I think 23rd.
23rd.
I think.
So
I think they were both whiffs.
Yeah.
And I think like the big buzz that was right at the end of me covering the team. I think Michael Haynes was like the MVP of the Senior Bowl. He had like 2 sacks of the Senior Bowl coming out of Penn State.
Played a total of, is this right, 3 seasons in the NFL?
Sounds right.
5.5 career sacks.
They did not like him. He was one of those 2 smart guys where he questioned everything the coaches would tell him. And Greg Blosch didn't like it. I think he was coached the last year under Blosch and then went to Lovey.
They had more success back in 1989 when they had 2 first-round picks.
That is right. And that would be Donnell Wolford and Trace Armstrong.
Trace Armstrong went on to have better than 100 career sacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Donnell Wolford was a fabulous cornerback.
He was a great cover.
Yes.
Great cover corner.
That was an excellent draft.
All right. So we'll get those tickets out to Commer, and then again tomorrow at about 5:20. Why don't we break down? Then we'll do a full Aki's A-List. So we'll have time for that right before the Sox game at 6 o'clock. We have some rain in the area, but as of now, it looks like We should be on to start the broadcast at 6, which I know makes people very, very happy. Coming up next, it's Aki's A-List.
It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
That's right. Let's do this before Sox baseball. Tyler's got questions. We've got the answers. And this, like most of our fun stuff we do, will be on our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@WaddleandSylvie.
All right, so we saw the mock draft the other day from Brad Biggs that had the Bears trading down and taking Washington tackle Troy Fautanu. And then we saw earlier today there was an alternating mock draft between Peter Schrager and Field Yates, where they went back and forth picking. Field had the odd number, so he had both Bears picks.
Oh.
And it's interesting because Field obviously has ties to Ryan Poles from their times working in the league. And this is what Field had to say about pick number 9 in the Chicago Bears.
And this is where it gets fun. Do you take a Joe Alt or do you take a Troy Fautanu? And I'm going to lean towards Fautanu here.
This really? First crazy. One off the board. I
first
love
one
this.
One off the board, yeah.
Just,
so,
hey, no one had Wright going as the first offensive tackle last year, and he did. So this is this could be true.
This may be crazy, but so with Braxton Jones at left tackle, who's a third-year player now, round pick out of Southern Utah a few years ago. The Bears are in good shape, but not – like, this is not – I think he's a good player. I don't
it's
think
it's not Jonathan Ogden. Yeah.
Right? We're not – if he were to eventually be replaced by this player, it's not like you're replacing Trent Williams in his prime, totally. Jonathan Ogden in his prime. So, Troy Fautanu, who at worst, Peter, is your super sub at left tackle, left guard, right tackle. I think he's a day-one starter at guard for the Bears. And maybe you're saying that this is too much of an investment for – back-to-back years, taking a right tackle and then potentially an interior offensive lineman. You got a young quarterback. I am sort of saying, I don't care about conventional norms. I am taking Troy Fautanu here.
Who's the super sub, though, did he say?
Fautanu. He thinks he'd be a starter
from day one.
Interior.
Yeah.
But he could also potentially be a backup at left guard, left tackle, or right tackle.
I would think that if they did that and picked him ahead of Joe Alt, there'd be plenty of people who pooped their pants.
That's what I was going to ask you. We saw Biggs pass on both receivers for Fautanu, and we see Field pass on Joe Alt for Fautanu. If the Bears end up taking Troy Fautanu, there will be, and pass on significant players, there will be more skepticism than optimism surrounding Ryan Poles after this draft.
Well, I don't want a guy who could be a super sub right out of the gate. you better be drafting starters at this point, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes.
Again, because you missed on your free agent guard from last year in Nate Davis. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you still want to give Braxton Jones left tackle, but I I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player. I just would like at 9, like, again, I've stated this. I hope to not have the Bears drafting in the top 10 for a decade. Make this count.
Yeah.
Get a blue chip guy.
And maybe this guy, I can't sit here and tell you that, that would be, I don't know what I'm looking at. I haven't looked at his tape. I just know that everyone that I've talked to or followed has Joe Alt listed as the head and shoulders above everybody else, top prospect at tackle, and plays left tackle, and isn't considered a super sub. Where's Field?
Call him tomorrow. Have him on tomorrow.
We have to ask him.
After the Sox game, or have him on Thursday or Friday.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe Ryan Poles got his guy.
It gets interesting because it's Biggs and it's Field. And those are two guys.
And Schrager was a part of both of
them.
And those.
Schrager liked it. Like he felt like it piqued his interest.
And by the way, if you're drafting this kid, wouldn't it make it more likely that you are trading back because he's more than likely going to be available?
One of the stipulations for their mock draft was they each got two trades, and I got to see if Field had already used both of his trades at that point. Field,
still had a trade to use. So
he didn't trade back.
And he did not.
Don't like it.
So, all right, let's get to a little bit of baseball here. I do want to bring this. So the White Sox have been struggling immensely, and there really is no light at the end of the tunnel. Will each team in the city win a playoff series before the White Sox get back to the postseason?
Each team win a playoff series?
Win a playoff series.
Boy, that's tough. I mean, like I've told you, the Sox, other than their World Series year, haven't won a playoff series. So, like,
but they don't have to win one. They just have to get back to the postseason.
No, right. I know that. All I'm illustrating is it could still be decades before a team wins a playoff series. It could be a decade before the Bulls win a playoff series. I'm trying to even think, when's the last time the Bulls won a playoff series? Was it when they beat... Who did they last beat in a playoff series? Brooklyn or Milwaukee? Was it Milwaukee at the end of Derrick Rose? When Giannis was a rookie?
It's a ways.
The Sox will be back in the postseason before every team wins a playoff series. Yes.
The White Sox will be back in the postseason before every team wins a playoff series.
Again, it could be that you think when are the Bulls going to win a playoff series?
After they get rid of
tonight.
The Hawks, yeah.
They win
I mean, Mike Wilbon's going to lead me in. Yeah.
So this
but the thing about tonight. Basketball.
Tonight. I guess tomorrow. My bad.
The thing about basketball.
They have to win a playoff series.
All it takes is one player. Like baseball, you need to overhaul a roster.
I'm going yes. Yes. Every team in town will win a series before
but
the
But
all
they have to do is make the postseason, so that includes wild card, correct?
Yeah, that team's not winning anything for the next 150 years.
I know they're miles and miles away. But again, this will take all four other teams to win a playoff series.
Are you confident
in the Bears winning a playoff game?
Correct.
The Bears haven't won a playoff game since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
The Bulls haven't won a playoff series since when? 2013?
Mm-hmm.
2015?
It's
when was
it? 2015.
I mean, the Hawks haven't won a playoff series since 2015.
But the Blackhawks have
they're on the come.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the White Sox are in Hellville for a long time.
The Cubs haven't won a playoff series since 2017.
Come on, that team's going to win a playoff series before the White Sox get back to the postseason.
But
Bears are going to win a playoff game before the White Sox get back there.
The Bulls are a decade away from winning a playoff series.
But if you pull off one big trade in the NBA.
Yeah, they won't even pull off a trade.
Yeah, but
big trade.
Well, but the White Sox are further down the ladder, and they are owned by the same crew that does the
exactly.
same stuff.
That's my point. They're owned by the same guy. And
right.
you have as much faith. I'm telling you, they're right behind the Sox.
So the play-in game doesn't count?
No, it's a series.
It is a series, yes.
Yeah, I'm still
And all the Sox have to do is make the postseason.
That ain't happening.
All right, the Chicago Sky made two big draft picks last night with Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso. How many teams in town do the Sky have more buzz than right now?
The Bulls and the White Sox, for sure. It's not close.
That's it. And there's more buzz with
the Bears have more the buzz. The Cubs have more buzz. And then the Hawks with Bedard.
Bedard, and they've also got some draft lottery potential luck coming their way.
But the Sky of major buzz. The Sky of major buzz. And I know, like, their phones couldn't keep up. We'll see if it lasts. They have to win now. But they have marketable, better players. And those two players are not only good, but you just watch them play and play at a high level. And like Wilbon say, win championships. Those are winning players. They're marketable players. And besides Caitlin Clark getting drafted, they got the most buzz. And those two players had a huge rivalry in college, Cardoza and Angel Reese.
Real quick, who wins two games in a row first, the Sky or the White Sox?
White Sox.
The Sky start their season
yes.
May 4th.
White Sox.
Or that's preseason, actually. They start their season May 15th.
The White Sox.
See, the White Sox just got a vote from me.
Streak starts tonight, boys.
Yeah, it does. No, it doesn't.
It may.
It's baseball. Stuff happens. Are they going to play?
Yeah, they'll play.
Looks like it. Yeah. I mean, it's not raining right now. It's just water on the ground.
A little water couldn't hurt that team. Well, nobody stretched. I mean, because it was optional. They were inside. Their uniforms are dry.
Will they stretch after any sort of delay?
No. Why would you do that? No. It's optional.
Slip on a wet field.
This portion of Waddle and Sylvie brought to you by Steinhoffels. Thank you to Wilbon. Thank you to Mel Kiper Jr. And thank you to AJ Przinsky. You can find it all on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@Waddle and Sylvie. Thanks to Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night. Instant classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all. And as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.